Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Is this the first good news we've received from Ukraine in a while? Overnight, a wave of Ukraine drones and missiles attacked Russian regions, and there's a report that Russians opposed to the Kremlin, two Ukrainian-based armed groups, launched an incursion across Russia's western border. Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv today for more. Joseph, what's the latest? What are you hearing?
Bob, hello. And actually, I'm in Lviv today here in the West. The latest, yeah, indeed, there's three stories of some activity happening within the Russian Federation. Reports of Ukrainian drones attacking multiple sites from St. Petersburg to Russia to other places deep within Russia, including oil refineries. The story of the Free Russia Legion breaking over the border back into Russia from the Ukrainian region of Kharkiv. Into the Russian region of Belgorod, and a report of another Russian plane falling out of the sky, possibly even two. That was the within Russia, there was the IL-76. It's a spy plane. It's used to orchestrate attacks upon Ukraine. And Russia has, but according to the international experts, about, well, Russia had about 24 of these, you know, sort of very critical planes that manage and coordinate attacks. And Ukrainians have destroyed, it seems now, certainly four, and if this is true today, now five of those 24 planes that are used to coordinate Russian attacks. So that's all quite extraordinary and could very much weaken Russians' ability to attack Ukrainian cities. We also, you know, continue to have the Black Sea is, I mean, it seems that Russian ships are afraid to even go into the Black Sea. Because Ukrainians have been using sea drones to attack them. And this the story of, when we think about the story of Ukrainians attacking Russian oil refineries, you know, this is deep into Russian territory, and it means that Russian air defenses are not, you know, top flight at the moment. But it's also notable because, you know, it's now spring, of course, as we've discussed, but, this winter, Ukraine did not have significant infrastructure attacks from Russia. Russia, you know, barely even attempted to do that. And when they did attempt it, most of the infrastructure was protected throughout Ukraine. And so, unlike 1 year ago, and so now to, you know, I think it'd be hard for people to imagine in that cold, dark winter of 1 year ago that there could be oil refineries within Russia on fire. So this is certainly what Ukrainians have been sort of preparing for a while. A lot of this must be the work of the intelligence unit of Ukraine's military and likely of saboteurs deep within Russia. And so this does give people some energy. And then this, the Free Russia Legion, the third part of this good news today, they've been fighting with the Ukrainians, but they are Russian citizens. And as Ukraine says, they can't stop them from going back into their home country. And they're free to do whatever they want there. And there have been, by the way, all of these stories we just discussed, this is also confirmed in Russian media and Russian Telegram chats. And you can even see, I saw a video of villages in Belgorod, just north of Kharkiv, people sort of looking out their windows, seeing the tanks of the Free Russian Legion drive by through these villages. And you can tell they have the white and blue flag. What they say is they've removed the red from the Russian flag. They're removing the blood and trying, they say, to begin to work on the liberation of Russia from Russians.
As you know, Joe, we get a lot of listener feedback on our talks here every morning. Let me read a few emails and texts and get your reaction. Let's see here. I enjoyed hearing about the struggles initially, but have grown tired of the finger-pointing and blaming from Joseph. Hi, Bob. I donated $100 yesterday for the anti-drone backpacks for Ukraine, Slava Ukraini. Ask Joe if he thinks Pope Francis has a hotline to Russia. Seems like the Pope echoes Putin's talking points, especially in May of 2022 when he said NATO barking at Russia's door triggered Putin's invasion. Pope Francis has not condemned Putin's invasion and instead now mirrors the papal appeasement of Hitler in World War II. Well, that is true. God bless Joseph Lindsley. Well, there's a little sample, Joe. What do you think?
Well, it's a big spectrum. Well, first, regarding the Pope, many people in Ukraine were angry with this the story that came out over the weekend that the Pope said, you know, it takes courage to wave the white flag of surrender. When you look more closely at it, it was an interview with Italian media, and the interviewer introduced that idea in the question. And so the Pope was sort of backed into that corner. Yeah, everyone here said, you know, is angry at him. He should have had the media wisdom not to get trapped into that. But I don't think he was necessarily calling, you know, for the surrender, but was just speaking without care. And this is the difficult thing. When information matters so much, when influential voices can influence many people around the world, you have to speak with care. This is part of the message that the team that won the Academy Award for the last days in Mariupol, that was part of their message. You have to tell the story and be accurate about it. Western Ukraine is a Greek Catholic region, which means they're Orthodox in style, but they are part of the Roman Catholic Church. And it was painful for people here to hear anything even approximating the idea of surrender coming from the Pope. And that's been a major topic here on the blame game. I mean, I can say what I see here on the ground, and then when I, you know, witness the sort of the discourse in Washington, and having worked in Washington, and knowing a lot of those personalities, individually, I could report my perspective, sort of bringing those two things together. I think actually the real blame game is happening within Washington, where everyone blames the other side. Without seeking solutions. So that's where the blame game is. And it's a strange thing because there's this movement of people in America who, you know, really want to be free, left and right, and they want to have some stronger sense of democracy, and they want to stand with free people around the world. But for some reason, they ignore Ukraine, and it mystifies me. There's a former NBA player, Enes Freedom. He changed his name. He's from Turkey. He moved to the U.S., he loves freedom, so he changed his last name to Freedom. He's no longer in the NBA. Now he's running for Congress. And he's popular. He's on, I think, Joe Rogan and all the usual sort of podcasts in that sector. And he's always talking about, you know, we got to stand with the people of Tibet or the people of Hong Kong or with the Irish people against illegal immigration, and hardly ever mentions Ukraine. This is a strange scenario we have in America where the people who are, like, They're not just talking about freedom. They're actually willing to live in cities that get bombed every day because they so much believe in their homeland and they believe in this idea of freedom. This is an extraordinary example. For some reason, that gets missed in a lot of our discourse in America. And I think if we can figure out that puzzle, I think there'd be a better chance of persuading Americans to support Ukraine. And I think it's, you know, when people say that they get tired of stories from here, I can see why people get tired of politics, for sure. But I mean, and this is what I'll keep striving to do, but every single day, surrounded by so many inspiring stories, you know, at the very least, it's not boring. And so I think it's, and you know, by the way, as we were yesterday, I was meeting with a bunch of people, and everyone went around the table and was talking about that documentary, Last Days of Mariupol. Mm-hmm. And no one had watched it. No one had watched it because they can't. It's too painful. Some say they started to watch it, and then they're saying it's a combination of being too painful and yet somehow not totally capturing the absolute terror and evil that people, you know, feel that Russia is unleashing upon this country. Anyway, the best I can do to share the real emotions of here, I'll keep doing that.
Well, when it comes to your opinion, I think people have to take into consideration the fact that you're there every day, have been for 2 years, and you're the one who goes to your favorite coffee shop, and one day it's been completely bombed. I mean, you have a different perspective, a unique one, when you're in the middle of it, and we appreciate it. Joe Lindsley in Ukraine, thanks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bob, thanks. Until tomorrow.